This is A Little Too Quiet, the Ferndale Library podcast, brought to you by the friends of the Ferndale Library. Another fun mini-sode here for you today. We're going to be talking to reference librarian Susan Paley. We're going to be getting into more of what exactly Reader's Advisory is and why it's so important to what librarians do on a daily basis, including something we've started here inside the library with our staff. It's a Reader's Advisory Book Club, so that the librarians here can be even better at what they do for you. We're going to be talking about the other collections that Susan helps bring to this library as well. Thanks for tuning in. We're here with reference librarian Susan Paley. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
And we're marking 9 years now for you?
Yes.
Here at the Ferndale Library?
Yes.
So, real quick, how and when did you know you wanted to be a librarian?
I started out actually wanting to be a teacher.
Okay.
And we had a class at the very end of the program that I was in for teaching, and it dealt with teaching young adults how to understand complicated things like history texts or events in history through novels.
Oh, cool.
Through reading.
Wow.
And the teacher that I had, she thought I was really great at it. And mm-hmm. She said, you know, you might want to think about getting a master's in library science because it combines teaching, and we do more one-on-one in the library world. And she thought I was really good more with one-on-one. Mm. As it turned out, she knew someone in the program at Wayne State for library science. So she suggested I meet with her, and then it just seemed like a perfect calling for me.
Yeah. Do you remember that thought occurring to you? Like, oh, yes, that's perfect. I mean, did you visit libraries often when you're youth?
Yes.
Yeah.
And usually when I was little and I would talk about things, even when I was very small, my answer would usually be, well, I read it somewhere.
Yeah.
When somebody would ask me something or I was talking about some new exciting thing that I learned. Mm-hmm. So that's really still one of my things that I remember. Was I read it somewhere, or I read about it, or I read this really great book.
Mm-hmm. Now, teaching context to young readers through history, teaching context and engaging them one-on-one like that, that's sort of what Reader's Advisory is. That's where engaging people and connecting them to the proper books that can sort of enlighten them. But that's something I learned about when I started working at libraries, is that Reader's Advisory is integral to what a librarian does, but we can say those two words, but we might not know what it means. What does Reader's Advisory mean?
Reader's Advisory is the process of connecting readers with books.
Yeah.
So that's anything from if someone comes up to the desk and they say, I'd like a new book, what's new, what's popular, what's trending, for example, what's on the New York Times list, or what's something that we, you know, we saw this list online of popular books that we'd like. Mm-hmm. It's things like that, but it can also be just something as simple as when we have our staff pick shelf and we put something on there. So we want to guide the reader to something that we've enjoyed that we think might also be a fit for someone else here.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also use our novelist database that we have. That's a resource that all the patrons here can use. And we've also been able to tap into it, and you can look up books that someone has told you they liked, or someone has said, give me an author or a plot similar mm-hmm. to this one, please.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really all about making sure that the reader has their next new favorite book. Or at least we hope it's that. I mean, sometimes, you know, you can recommend something and then it's, you know, a complete surprise.
Sure.
The goal is we want to help someone find their next favorite book.
Sure. Now, everyone presumes when they think of librarians, they probably think research. They can help you do research. They can help kids with homework, whatever. But you also have to be professional recommenders. That's really what it comes down to here.
Yes,
so
exactly.
Let's talk about something that started recently. It's the Reader's Advisory Book Club, and what inspired that, and what purpose is it serving?
The Reader's Advisory Book Club started out because we went to a training workshop for other adult services librarians, and there was a whole session on connecting readers with books. So other librarians had shared different things that they've done to help themselves get better at recommending books, and that was one of the options that they talked about in the presentation they did.
Mm-hmm.
You can gather with your staff, or as many staff as you can get on a day when everyone's here, and talk about the next great book that you've read, or you can, like what we do, we pick a genre and then everybody reads something within that genre, and then you have a group of books that you can suggest, and we put those together in a brochure, mm-hmm. and then we have those available at the reference desk too. Mm-hmm. And then we can have the group of books that we read, and it just helps because that way we're all reading widely from the genre.
Yeah.
Like if someone is, you know, if someone comes in for a book and then only one of us has read that type of book, now we have a little more options. So it's not like if someone's asking for a book that we've never heard of, mm-hmm. we don't want to have a deer in the headlights. We want to make sure we help.
I think that's great. I think structuring it around genre is great. And I like the phrasing you used, widely from the genre. Because I was going to ask you, you know, Susan, do you think that genres have blurred today in the day and age of modern literature? But maybe they haven't. Maybe it's just that genres can contain so much. If we have 10 people on the Reader's Advisory Book Club reading 10 horror novels, they're not all going to be the same. They're going to be loosely tied to horror, you know?
Right. They're not all going to be the same, but sometimes they do blur.
Yeah.
I mean, the one that I read, The Three by Sarah Lotz, it was very scary. And it also had elements of being a thriller novel because the plot is that there are four plane crashes around the world around the same time, and then the media gets a hold of each one at the same time. So it's sort of this flood of like this creepy, really scary disaster for mm-hmm. multiple places around the world, and then suddenly you don't know what happened. Like, is it just because there was some kind of a failure with the planes, or was it something supernatural, or mm-hmm. was it just a coincidence? You don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And that particular book, it was designed to read like a book within a book. So when you open it, you first see the regular title, The Three by Sarah Lotz. But then when you turn the page, there's a foreword that explains you're reading a book that's about to be published about the four disasters.
Oh, man.
It's really scary because there are only three that have survived. And so you really don't know, you know, what happened as you go along. Mm-hmm. Because you're reading it from like a transcript of a distress call, and then mm-hmm. you're reading an email that someone sent, and then you're all of a sudden hearing a phone, you're reading the transcript of a phone message that someone sent, and all those clues come together. It's a literary device called found footage.
I like
that.
Which
I had not heard of before I read it. And when we started the book club, we also talked to one of the representatives that coordinates our database, and they gave us little booklets that sort of help explain different literary devices and themes within each genre.
Yeah.
I will say that Novelist has introduced me to some of those kind of terms that I didn't know I liked.
Yeah.
I often help either myself or my boyfriend find science fiction books, and there's, you know, going by the things that he has liked to read already, it's like, you know, one of the themes that he likes is more than human, so it's like, you know, cyberpunk, you know, transhuman kind of, topics. And mm-hmm. it's cool to have like a name for that. And then you could just search for, you know, titles that fit in with that too. So found footage, I think my horror novel was in the found footage category too.
It helps to have a language for what we like about a book.
Yes. And even as you were talking just now, I was like, ooh, I can recommend this book or that book or another one. It's just like, that's one thing too, as librarians, really, once we tell someone about a good book, we just want to keep finding more and keep talking about more and more good ones.
I know. So many, because there's so many experiences you can turn them onto just throughout the pages of any book that you can give them. You talked about your horror selection. We've done the Reader's Advisory Book Club. We're about to have our third meeting, right?
Mm-hmm.
So talk about a couple of the other ones that you have read. So the very first one was horror. And then what else did we do?
And then we did graphic novel nonfiction.
Okay. What did you choose?
I chose Persepolis mm-hmm. by Mary Jane Satrapi. And that was really powerful because it's a story about a girl who, she came of age during the Iranian Revolution in 1979. And her family, when she was growing up, they were really appreciative that she was so curious and thoughtful. and wanted her to learn and study. And the way that the book is set up, she's a graphic designer. So it's like a comic book. And as you see her when she starts out when she's a little kid, mm-hmm. and you see her asking questions and saying, "Mom and Dad, why is this happening? Why are these things in our news or on TV, or like what's happening in our neighborhood? What's happening around our world? Why don't I understand?" And they try to help her understand the ways that things have changed for her, and also to give her support to keep that curiosity spark alive.
It's a delicate balance.
And yes, yeah. And it was very, very powerful. She witnessed a lot of things as a child and a teenager that it very, very profound effect on her life. And her parents decided to send her to Europe. They sent her to Austria, mm-hmm. and they wanted to give her a better life by sending her away. So part of the story is her coming of age when she left Iran for Austria and what happened there. And she grew a lot,
yeah.
and she really changed and learned things, but she also really struggled.
Mm-hmm.
So seeing that aspect too was also really eye-opening. She ended up trying to return to Iran, and then she was in university there for a while, and she did very well. She still had that strong curiosity spark, but she also knew that even if she did well there, she couldn't stay.
Yeah.
And so it was really an awakening of she needed to leave to flourish and become stronger in her life and what she believed in.
Right.
So she left, and then she went to France and studied there, and then is now a graphic designer and journalist and writer.
Once again, so we all gathered to talk about graphic novel nonfiction books that we had read. So graphic novel is a genre, and mm-hmm. The term is graphic novel, but there are nonfiction materials here. It's kind of strange to describe it over a podcast, but if you had one of these books in your hands, essentially it would look like a comic book.
Right.
But this is something that's really been legitimized, I think, over the last 5 years.
Exactly. And this one, it was simple pen and ink drawing,
yeah.
so it was actually looked like if she had a Sharpie as she drew each square and mm-hmm. each thing. Whereas some of the other ones, I know the one that Ed read,
mm-hmm.
and that one was more like a painted comic, like mm-hmm. you would see. And then there was another one that sometimes they have photos in them, or sometimes
yeah.
they have very realistic drawings. So the art becomes a way to give that medium another dimension and another voice as well.
Yeah. Then we are moving on to romance in the next genre. What book did you read?
I read P.S. from Paris by Mark Levy.
Mark Levy? Is that mm-hmm. newer?
It's from 2017,
okay.
so it's fairly new. And he is a French author, and he's popular in France, and then this is one of the first books that was translated from French to English. And it's very sweet romance. It's fun. It's the two main characters. It's a woman who really wants to escape the life that she has, and
mm-hmm.
she's living in London at the time. She's British.
Mm-hmm.
And then she has a best friend who lives in Paris and runs a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
So she says, "I want to leave London and hop on the Eurostar and go over to Paris and then work in my friend's restaurant." And so while she's there, she is kind of curious about how she wants to start out her new life, and she makes up a dating profile on a website, and then there's another person who responds, and the guy who responds to her messages and her profile on the dating website wants to meet her. And then at first they're like, "Oh, I don't know, we just kind of walked into this wanting to be friends and
mm-hmm.
and not wanting it to be a romance. Like, we just need new friends. We have new lives,
mm-hmm.
and we're in Paris." And so they decided to just sort of go wandering around the city together, and then it started their romance.
It was great.
Like I said, very sweet, and a good one for people if they like to read about different places in the world, or they'd like to read about travel. And it's nice if you've been to Paris before, you can recognize some of the street names or some of the
That's great.
Different things that they go and see. This one, they sneaked up to the top of the opera house, and they looked out of the window there, and it was this really beautiful view, and I thought, oh, that sounds really exciting, because I've been inside the opera house, but not on the roof.
Susan's been to Paris several times, and I especially think it's good to know that for people to remember that when you think of romance, it can be easy to think of the romance paperback, that sort of trashy thing, or a soap opera-y thing, or a super melodramatic 19th century Bronte thing. But there's so much more in that genre to offer.
Oh, there's really a lot for... There's just so many that it's something that everybody can read. If they if they're interested in the genre, there's a way to make it work for anyone.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things I discovered. Because before this, I really didn't read a lot of romance.
Same.
This was a nice introduction.
Yeah.
That was one of the appeals for me about starting a book club like this. It would be... an excuse, to pick up something that I wouldn't otherwise, and I haven't quite made it to one of the meetings yet because of my schedule, but, you know, it was an opportunity for me to look at, you know, maybe a different culture through the lens of a horror novel or a romance novel. I actually sought out a horror novel set in Baghdad, which I didn't get to read, but you know, just looking for those kind of like little niches in there that could like further the genre. It's kind of, you know.
Yes. I mean, that's the positive of any book club is exposure to anything that you might not otherwise encounter. Before we let you go, Susan, I want to talk about something else that you do at this library, and it especially enriches our collection because we've been talking about fiction books and nonfiction books. But let's talk about travel books. Let's talk about audiobooks, let's talk about foreign language books, which you're helping us add to these collections. So talk about that.
Yes, well, I have lots of collections now.
Yeah.
So for the audiobooks, I really like that. We have both physical audiobooks on CD, and then we have digital audiobooks that people can download through the app on their phone or or if they have a tablet, they can listen to them that way. Or in their car, too, which is nice.
Yeah, either way, where I do it.
Either way. And I really like to find a really wide range of topics that people can listen to when they're listening to a book. So that's fiction, and then there's also nonfiction, and a lot of biography memoir. That's really important. And what's really interesting sometimes is... when the writers read their own material, especially for autobiography and biography, I think that's great.
Yeah.
And
I would hope that they do it, that when someone writes their own biography, they should always read their own audiobook.
Yeah.
You can't get away with that. It's your own words.
Yes. The lone exception to that is Johnny Depp reading Keith Richards.
Oh, that's especially good. No.
Because I'm not sure I could listen to Keith Richards.
Right. And Johnny Depp can do
20 hours.
Johnny Depp can do a Keith Richards voice, so
right.
It's great.
Yes. And even if it's not the writer reading their own work, there are really some great narrators out there. And one of the things that people really like is a great narrator. So sometimes they'll just read everything by that narrator just to hear the voice or just to hear the particular way they say the words.
Right, right. Oh, and so there's travel books too.
The travel books, I really like that. I try and get as broad of a range as I can. So we have local things that people can check out. We've got several about Detroit. We've got a few that include local things to do here. In Ferndale, we have worldwide destinations and destinations in the United States and different things like road trips or extreme trips. You know, like a lot of people that want to do an adventure trip, we have those. We have even travel guide for vegan travelers, which is a thing that I know people find important.
That's like a survival guide.
Yes.
Yeah, when you're out there.
Yeah, we have those. And I usually get a range of even things where, you know, families want to take their kids to Disney World or do travel activities with kids. There's those. There's Fedora's and Frommer's. Lonely Planet, too. Lonely Planet's a really good one.
Yeah.
So, and we have a database for that, too. And one of the things that I do with the database is look and see where are people looking in the database for, like, what locations do they are they looking up, and then do we have a book on that if they wanted a physical book?
So, the popular places on the planet.
Yes.
Yeah. And you're going to be helping us get some popular, like, classic novels, but in a different language?
Yes. It's actually going to be a combination of classics in various languages as well as current literature now.
Awesome.
So the children's department has been having requests for books in other languages for several years now. So they have books in French, Spanish, German, and Arabic. And we were looking for a new project to do for adults, and we've gotten some requests from books in other languages as well. So we've just recently started buying books in those four languages, so French, German, Spanish, and Arabic. And then they are current material, so I've looked at different lists from around the country, or each country. I've looked at, like, the top prize that they give out for the top author in the country, or different lists of what's popular, what's a bestseller in France or Germany, just to try and give our patrons another option for content that they want to read. And one of the things I really like about being a librarian in general is that we have a responsibility to curate a collection that has something for everyone in it. Everyone here can find something in this building, and they don't even have to ask us. They can come and browse, and it's free, and, you know, they can look up whatever they need to look up or feel comfortable knowing that we're here if they need us to help them find something. But if they don't want to ask, if they just want to go looking for something, then that's also available to them. We don't always have to know what people are exploring or reading or learning, but knowing that we can build a collection that works for everyone is really important.
Yes, a collection of maximal variety.
Yes.
Something for everyone. You put it so well there, Susan. Thanks for being on the podcast.
Thank you.
It's great.
This has been great.
Great to chat with you, and I'll see you at the next Reader's Advisory Book Club with my romance selection. And that was reference librarian Susan Bailey. We had a great time chatting with her about everything that she brings to this library, including flourishing our audiobook collection, as well as our travel books, and now books in another language other than English, which is going to be great. And we had a great time talking about Reader's Advisory and why that's so important to what librarians do on a daily basis to help you find your next favorite book. This is A Little Too Quiet, the Ferndale Library Podcast. It's brought to you by the Friends of the Ferndale Library. If you want to support this podcast, just go to ferndalefriends.org, where you can join or donate. Or if you're on Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating or review. It'll help us find more library-loving listeners. I'm Jeff Milo, joined as always by producer Kelly Bennett. This is A Little Too Quiet.